We do welcome you today. And it's not exactly the day most people were hoping for outside. I'm sure that we were expecting or hoping for a little more spring-like weather. Instead, we have the leftovers of winter, a little bit of chill and a little bit of cold and a little bit of rain that keeps rolling in there. This, of course, is Easter. I guess none of us ever wait to see what the chick looks like, or the chicken looks like after we make the egg. It is a unique time of year. It's a time when our culture celebrates the resurrection of Jesus, and yet so many people in our culture either don't believe in that or don't practice that or are involved in that in any way. And because of that, we've kind of put a whole bunch of symbols in there that are really unconnected in a lot of ways. How do you get from the resurrection to the Easter bunny or various kinds of things that we'll do today? And people frequently say, well, how do you actually make those things come together? And the reality is you really can't, although some people try to do that at times. The thing I think about most on Easter Day, or no, Easter Sunday, is ham. Maybe some of you have a great big ham at home, and you're going home to enjoy ham. I share with you that when I see a picture of a ham, I think mostly of A Christmas Story. Now, that may seem rather bizarre, but it's not when you kind of go into it. If you're familiar with A Christmas Story, you know that it's written by a guy by the name of Gene Shepherd, writing about his own experiences growing up as a child. And the book is In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. And several of his book titles are kind of unique. And as you go through the movie, you get the sense that there's not a narrative. It's actually a collection of stories and a collection of radio plays that this person is sharing, except for one major difference. There's the Christmas turkey that gets destroyed by the Bumpus's hounds. Gene Shepherd says they had 4,293 of them, to be exact. But the reality is, that's not the story. If you look at his books carefully, it's an Easter ham, not a Christmas turkey, that gets destroyed by the hounds and forces them to go to the Chinese place to eat their dinner. The connections between Christmas and Easter are kind of unusual in ways. Really, they're the only two positive events that we have a tendency to celebrate in any kind of an outward kind of way. And I don't know about you, but the period of life between Christmas and Easter is my least favorite time of year. That winter time, the cold time, the lack of sun, and those who are affected by seasonal affective disorder certainly can identify with those kind of things. And we look forward to spring coming because we're going to be energized by the outside activities in springtime and various kinds of things. And I'd like to come back to that as we finish up this morning. Today, probably you're going to do things with family. You're going to be with family and enjoy being with family and maybe have all kinds of good interactions at a meal or various things as you're hunting eggs or various kinds of things along that road. And we enjoy those loving kind of activities. And yet, everything about those relationships isn't necessarily perfect. Everything about love in our life isn't necessarily perfect. Love can sometimes be a challenge, and love can sometimes be a struggle. And sometimes holidays bring that to us very, very clearly as we interact in kind of those once a week, or I mean once a year, or only a few times a year that we get together. We've been working through the book of Luke, and this morning I'd like to continue that, because I think there's some strong parallels of what Jesus has to say today and some other things that we can apply to this holiday period as well. And I'm going to ask you if you would, if you're interested in doing so, to go to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. It will serve as our text. For most of you, you've seen and read and heard these verses over and over again. And what I would challenge you to do this morning is to try to think about what it was like to hear this for the very first time. It is so unusual and so outside of what you would have expected to hear that maybe if you could listen with those ears, it might give you just a little change in perspective. Jesus begins, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Can't you just see the people looking at each other like, oh, wait a second, this changes everything. Is he really serious about this? If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. You mean that? If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those that love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now, sometimes we're confused about those words. We're confused about the word love. And this morning, as I use the word love, I'm going to be referring to biblical love. And biblical love is not affection. Biblical love is something that we do. It's an action. Biblical love is behavioral. It's measured in our behavior. And certainly as Jesus instructs them in this higher level of interaction, He's telling them how to do that in manageable, observable ways that are in fact behavioral. So that's really what we're talking about. And some people will say, well, how can I have affection for somebody who's my enemy? That's not what Jesus is asking you to do. He's asking you to behave as if. And the surprising thing sometimes is the affection follows the behavior. There are three things that I'd like to pull out of this passage that I'd like for you to think about today. Kind of an unusual way to look at the way we interact and what we call love as we try to use love in what I would describe as biblical love or Bible love. And you could put that word before each of these statements this morning. Biblical love requires us to make choices that we don't want to make. When I love somebody, when I feel affection for that person, the choices that I make toward that person are totally natural. It feels right because I love you. And you love me back in some cases. And so this is totally normal. And Jesus says, but if you are practicing the love of God, then you're going to have to make some choices that wouldn't be typical. Love your enemies? What do you really want to do to your enemies? We don't want to make a list. We don't want to share them. Might get a little heavy as we go through that process. David is kind of reveals his personal point of view when he writes some of the Psalms. And in Psalms chapter 3, verse 7, one of my very favorite. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Punch them in the mouth so hard that their teeth break. And you can identify with that one. When you have an enemy, that's what you'd like to do. That's what it feels right to do. And so we keep our hands in our pockets. We keep our words inside of ourselves. We resist the impulse to say the things we want to say and do the things we want to do. And then we look to God and say, okay, are you happy with me? And He says, no, let's ramp it up just a bit. If the enemy punches you, turn the other cheek. Now, wait a second. You know, I may be able to hold back. I may be able to resist what I really want to do, but now you're placing me into a totally emotional situation where I'm going to be pretty agitated, typically be angry, and now you're asking me to do something else, to not escalate it, but instead allow myself to be further misused? Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus is saying here, exactly what he's trying to get us to do. That sounds like something that doesn't make any sense until you start to look at it just a little bit. The problem in so many of our conflicts is that they escalate. Somebody does something to us, we do something back to them. It's a little more, a little more, a little more. And before long, there's a lot of negative things that are happening and a lot of terrible things are being done. And not only are people wounded inside, but they actually become physically wounded. Then there becomes collateral damage, leads to quarrels and fights and wars, and multiple people are affected and influenced. And then we step back and say, boy, I wish this had never happened. And God says to us, that's what I was trying to tell you. Don't allow the escalation to begin with. Anybody in here ever had an enemy who's now your friend? When my son was in school, my older son, Sean, he and a kid at school, junior high especially, they didn't get along at all. Just incredible levels of conflict. And now, that guy is one of his very best friends. Well, if we go around hitting and hurting and damaging all our enemies, maybe we're ruling out some of our future friends. This is a challenge that Jesus gives to us. He says there's a natural way to respond. Don't do it. Do it a little bit differently. Look at the second thing. Biblical love causes us to do things we don't want to do. Phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's February, and it's your friend, and his car's broken down out on I-35, and he needs for you to come and get him. It's 14 degrees outside. Do you want to go? No, you don't want to go. Even when your child cries in the middle of the night, do you want to get up and go to that crying sick child? Probably if you were honest, you could say, I don't really want to. Then why are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to do it because I love that person. Or because I love the person who's asking me to do this particular thing. Jesus shares in a parable in Luke chapter 11 about the guy who wakes up his neighbor and says, I've got company coming, I need some bread. And at first the neighbor resists, but finally he gets up and helps him go through that process. The other thing that's interesting in this category is lending. I hope you noticed several different times there, lending comes up in several of those verses. Why don't we like to lend things to people? Well, it never comes home the way you sent it. Where's the case? Where's the cord? Where's the battery charger? Where are the tires? You know, it never comes back that way. When my brother-in-law first came into our family, my dad had an ethnic nickname for him that I won't share with you. And so my brother-in-law called him Chief. And that was just one of the kind of things that kind of made a point about Dad's level of control. But my brother-in-law constantly wanted to borrow things from my dad. Chief, can I borrow this? Chief, can I borrow that? And Chief would say, no, 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 you can't borrow anything. So my brother-in-law began to come by the house and get stuff when Chief wasn't home. Well, my dad comes home one day and his chainsaw is gone. And he says, Jeff, bring back the chainsaw. Okay, okay, okay. Goes on for weeks. Finally, we're at dinner on a Sunday, and my dad says to Jeff, bring the chainsaw back today. And Jeff says, Chief, you're going to be needing a new chainsaw. Chainsaw's broken. That's why we don't like to lend to people. It doesn't work out very well. Jesus says, that's not a good enough reason. That's not good enough to hold back. It's not because of our own greed and our own selfishness that we refuse to have and refuse to do these things that we don't want to do. We're going to grow through that process. It's good for us sometimes to have to replace a chainsaw or to not have a chainsaw because it maybe gives us a little different view about materialism. Benjamin Franklin says, neither a borrow nor a lender be. That's good information for people who are just trying to live in this world. But people who are trying to live on a higher plane have more to share with other people than that. The third thing that I point out this morning is that biblical love motivates us to love people we wouldn't choose to love. You know, who do you like? Who do you hang out with? Who do you enjoy being around? Well, typically, it's people that are a lot like you. People who look like you, people who are in the same age group, people in the same socioeconomic group, people who have a lot of similarities to you. And we do that all the time. You know, I like who I like, and I love those folks, and so I'm going to be with those folks. And when we do that, we rob ourselves of a lot of important interactions. And we also rob ourselves of a lot of opportunities to grow and to move into areas that we wouldn't normally encounter and deal with things that we wouldn't normally have to deal with. Some folks just don't get it. Some folks just want to stay in their little cliques. They just want to stay in their comfort zone. They just want to continue to have everything the way that it's always been. And yet, you can look around you today and see people who have blessed your life in this room who are different from you. They bring a different perspective of life. They bring a different life experience. They have different pressures. All those kinds of things are useful and beneficial for us. And Jesus, when he's talking to this group, he's basically saying, you know, there are some people out here who may be harder to love. Love them anyway. Even if they don't bring your chainsaw back, love them anyway. When my dad passed away about 3 weeks before he died, he had to have a tracheostomy. And before he did that, he wanted to talk with each member of the family. And my brother-in-law came over to the bed, and my dad said, Jeff, I love you. I've always loved you. And then he said, that's not true. I haven't always loved you, but I've grown to love you. When we put ourselves in those situations, then we have opportunities to grow to love somebody. Jesus says, it's real easy to go out there and have the people over to your house who are going to invite you back the next Friday night. It's real easy to interact with the folks who are going to see things the way you see it. And all of those things. And instead, he says, go out and find those people who really need love. Who really need to know what I'm about. Who really need to understand that God loves them in spite of a lot of things that are taking place in their lives. A number of people who have experienced adoption, bringing a child into their family, sometimes report that that child can sometimes be very, very difficult in the early days. And it's almost as if the child is saying, if you really knew me, you wouldn't care about me. And I'm going to have to find out if you love me in spite of all my imperfections. And I'm going to show you all my imperfections as dramatically as possible. And when you hang in and ride through that, then that relationship changes. And while we may not do that quite as directly, we do that in a lot of circumstances. We test people, even subconsciously sometimes. Would you really love me if you knew what I was thinking? When if you knew the bad things that I've done, if you knew the impulses that I have, would you really care? And Jesus is inviting us to participate in that and to love people even in the moments when they aren't particularly easy to love. The most important thing that comes out of this passage is that 31st verse. It was in the scripture that was read earlier today from Matthew chapter 7. It's that simple verse, if you could go ahead and put it up there. Do to others as you would have them do to you. You know, you can go over to a bookstore. I've said this before. You can go to the relationship section. How many books will you find? Thousands of books. Here's how you have good relationships. Some of them are hundreds of pages long. Some of them even longer. And it absolutely blows me away that when Jesus is asked or is presenting information about how to have good relationships, he says simply, treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Can you imagine going to that seminar? It's like, hey, that was quick. It's over. We can all go home. It's the easiest system you'll ever find. Just treat everybody the way you want to be treated. And it's remarkably effective. That's the answer to the difficulties that we face in relationships. That's the way we apply biblical love, is we treat people the way we simply want to be treated. Look on the calendar, and December 25th is Christmas. And we love to celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's a wonderful time in our culture. Probably the supreme time as far as culturally. We go to the springtime, and once again, there's a holiday. And what a wonderful day it is that we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, although a lot of people don't celebrate it quite that formally. But it really is pretty easy to celebrate the day that Jesus was born and the day that Jesus was resurrected and forget about all the stuff in between. There was a lot of trauma that occurred in between. There was rejection, and there was abandonment, and there was pain, and there was suffering, and there was sorrow, and there was death, and there was anguish, and there was all of those things. And we don't have holidays for those things, because we just primarily want to think about the good things. Love is the same way. We love to celebrate the wonderful feeling. Love is a wonderful thing, Michael Bolton will tell us. And it is. But it has challenges. And it has things that have to be worked through. And there are things that we have to survive. And all of those things are difficult. And Jesus says to us, but if you handle the difficulties, you reach this glorious place of the agape love that the Bible shares for us. This morning, you may find yourself on the outside of God's family. You may be saying to yourself, I need that kind of love. I want that kind of love. I need that kind of affection from other people. But most importantly, I need to know that God loves me that way. I need to say back to Him that I reciprocate and I return that love. This morning, if there's something that you need to do to change that relationship with God into a loving relationship, we'd be glad to help you do that. If you have questions about how to do that, we'd be happy to answer those questions. Just let us know while we sing this song together.